Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, we are back. Thank you very much for listening to the Trucks Radio Show live and local in the Bay on KGO and around the world on the KGO app, now available for your tablet or your iPad. It always has been for your smartphone, but downloaded. And it plays in stereo, and we KGO go wherever you go. As the sun sets, we're now broadcasting live to the entire Western United States and Canada. Thank you for joining us, and I want to thank, Sherilyn Adams, who is the executive director. You are with, it is the Larkin Street Group.
Yeah, Larkin Street Youth Services.
Thank you very much. And Craig Lottie, you are the associate director. We are all joining together, all of the San Francisco media, with this homeless project. And we're talking about the homelessness situation here in the city. And I invite Lynn Sloan to join me, our producer, because you have lived in the city forever.
Pretty close.
And I'm a newbie, pushing 2 years, but nonetheless love the city. But I see the homeless crisis exactly as that. It's a crisis. So thank you very much for coming in. Sherilyn, where are we at now? You tell me what you guys do.
So Larkin Street Youth Services provides an array of services for youth ages 13 to 24 who are homeless or have run away. Those services include immediate shelter and sanctuary and safety supports. We have drop-in centers, outreach staff, and then education and employment, medical care, behavioral health services, all designed to help young people build the tools and the skills they need to be able to successfully transition into adulthood. We also operate about 270 beds of transitional housing or supportive housing programs for young people.
That's fantastic. I think a lot of people listening would be surprised that demographic is homeless.
Yeah, I think one of the things that often happens for homeless youth is that they're invisible, right? We have focused a lot, and especially this week and today, a lot on the chronically homeless population in all of the sort of news that we've been seeing and hearing and reading about. But we talk a little bit less about homeless youth, and that's in part because they are invisible. We don't see them. They're better at sort of hiding their homelessness. They tend to not be as visible or as noticeable to some on the street. They do a lot of couch surfing. They stay places that aren't intended to be lived in or inhabited. They trade sex or drugs to stay someplace. So they're not as visible, and then they don't always get the supports and services they need. But there are about 1,500 young people who are counted in the point-in-time count who are street-based homeless or in shelters in San Francisco.
Wow, that's amazing. And so we'll turn that upside down and we'll talk about it. Craig, what do you find are some of the biggest symptoms and conditions with the youth? I mean, what is the chronic problem?
Well, I think that when it comes to young people, in the city, what we've seen from Larkin Street's perspective is that a lot of times that they lose support in their home life.
Right.
Or they lose support in their home communities. I think nationwide average is 40% of our young people tend to come from the LGBTQ spectrum. So you're looking at a large chunk, 4 out of 10 people coming because they simply weren't able to be supported at home or supported in their community based on who they are as a human being. The rest of the young people that we see, it's a varied solution of different sets of problems, some being the parents were homeless, and then that led to the youth homelessness in itself, some being the parents were just unsupportive and or were unable to support after a client or a young person turns 18. You know, as soon as you're, now you got to go because I'm no longer legally obligated to care for you. So,
well, that's a horrible thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most you hear about kids coming back or not leaving till they're 30 now.
Right. And I think that is, that's about often about just a not insufficient resources or deep poverty. And parents are maybe needing to say, okay, we've got younger ones I got to care for, and you need to now sort of go make it on your own. And what we know is that in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, You need a really good education. You need a lot of skills. This is a highly skilled labor market. And so for many young people, they, as Craig was saying, they become homeless either because of family rejection or community rejection around their LGBTQ status or identification. They might become homeless because they get kicked out. They might become homeless because of a family history of family abuse or neglect. And then they land on the streets, and it's very, very difficult to find housing here. It's very difficult to get a job if you don't have an education.
Let me ask you about the LGBTQ thing. When I was looking and diving into the research on the homeless problem here in San Francisco was, and I think this is a myth that a lot of people think, well, they run to the LGBTQ community because they are open-hearted and they are most likely to help. But that's not, it's not that they're, that, that we're anti, it's just that, you know, there is not a support basis there.
Right. I mean, I think, absolutely. Young people, many of us came to this city when we came out, or because we wanted to live with freely with our partners, right? Wanted to live in a community that we thought would be supportive of who we are. And young people want the same thing. So they may come to San Francisco thinking, this is going to be great. I'm finally going to be accepted. But the truth is, it's still very hard to find housing or a job if you don't have an education or a skill set. It is cold and windy and difficult to be on the streets. And so kids came here, young people came here seeking something that they just, is just a piece of what they need.
Well, the national media is really grabbing onto this. If you've noticed today, this whole thing that all the media together are getting up. Thank goodness that everybody's doing it. But you're exactly right. I mean, it's not like in the 60s where it's a love-in out here. It's not. It is cold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's windy and it rains. And, it's not like it was the peace with the peaceniks. Lynn, you can speak to this problem. You live in the city.
I do. I live in the Inner Sunset, and we have a fairly large homeless population who comes in and out of Golden Gate Park, populating the 9th and Judah area, which is a business district. And for the most part, the people are peaceful. You know, they ask for money or food. They're selling street sheets. They engage with us. They get to know some of the locals by name. But there are a couple people who are violent and crazy and seem to change persona in a blink of an eye. And they're actually dangerous. You know, they come up to people and harass them for money. One kicked in a glass door at Starbucks last month. And it's kind of hard to know what person you're going to be dealing with when you deal with some of them who seem to have some mental health issues. But for the most part, the people I encounter in my neighborhood are respectful. They're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And they find little places to sleep at night. They generally clean up after themselves. You know, quite frankly, I find the homeless to be better behaved than some of the people who walk their dogs.
There's that. Yes. So on that point, I just wonder, what can you do for the homeless young person as far as getting them on their feet? Is it a temporary situation? Because that's what we're finding with a lot of places that take in the homeless adults. It's always a temporary situation.
Yeah, so I think at Larkin Street, we do have services. We have a drop-in center in The Haight. We work closely with the other two prominent providers for young people, or three providers for young people in The Haight: Huckleberry Youth Services, Take It to the Streets, Homeless Youth Alliance. And so we work together to create a web of support for young people in terms of drop-in and outreach services to the degree that we can. There's very few. We have a small drop-in space in The Haight. And that's sort of all that exists in terms of drop-in space. And the Cole Street Clinic is a place for medical care. And then we work to bring folks, as I said, inside, into shelter and into housing. Most of our housing is at least 2 years. Some of our housing can go longer. We work very hard while the folks are in housing to provide them with the skills and tools they need to be able to sort of live independently once they complete our programs.
That's wonderful.
So for here in San Francisco, we have a lot of wonderful supportive housing for chronically homeless adults. We have, a deep commitment and investment desire on the part of the city from folks who have been hearing from Jeff, the new head of the Department on of supportive homelessness and supportive housing to expand supportive housing options, to triage differently, to be able to continue on the good work that San Francisco's been doing to address homelessness. For young people, we have about 400 beds of housing in the city against the 1,500 that were counted in the point in time count, which is probably is an underestimation of the number, because we know homeless youth hide. We know not everybody gets counted in that count. So we need to continue to build more, and we want young people to move out of housing and into their own affordable or independent housing and to participate in the community as we all get to participate in the community.
Okay, 808-0810 is our number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with Sherilyn and Craig from the Larkin Youth Center and their services in just a minute. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO810 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO810.
All right, we're back, and along with all of the other San Francisco media, today we are talking about the homeless crisis here in the city of San Francisco. But not only here, it's all around the Bay. 808-0810 is the number. Larkin Street Youth Services. We have Sherilyn Adams, the executive director, and Craig Lottie, he is the associate director, in here to talk about the youth. And we were just discussing it, and I found this in the Chronicle, and we were talking about homelessness. People flock here, and this is a myth. Homelessness people flock here from elsewhere because San Francisco of our generous services, but actually it just cut the services. But they appear here thinking that this is the golden spot, and that's a panacea.
Well, and I think it's influxed and it's traveled across the country because we had, and as we were pointing out, the love nest idea of the 60s, right? It was everybody's welcome, everybody's happy, everybody's accepted. And with that came this, well, everybody's just receiving service. And so we get a lot of families. We get a lot of immigrant families as well. We get a lot of individuals who've just heard, hey, back over there. And at least in California, it's always warm, right? Well, as anybody who lives in the Bay Area knows, that's completely
that's not
true.
The situation here. Yes, it's a microclimate. It's different everywhere in the Bay. Yes.
And I think the point in time count has demonstrated that most of the folks, adults, families, and young people who are homeless became homeless in San Francisco or the surrounding Bay Area communities, right? So it is about folks who identify San Francisco as their home, who were here and became homeless here.
Right.
Young people are often, like 40% of the young people that we see have been involved in the foster care system at some point in their life, right? So they may have been placed outside of the county at some point, but San Francisco was their original home. So I think, yes, California has 30% of the homeless population in the country. And they're just like California is a big state, lots of people like to live here. So I think really what we want to focus is how do we as a city that cares about providing supports and services to vulnerable populations, how do we want to respond? And what do we want to do for young people? And how can we ensure, how can we prevent and end youth homelessness? In the same way we want to end family homelessness and veterans homelessness, we can make homelessness among young people rare and brief and non-reoccurring. We can make sure that they don't become chronically homeless.
Well, Sherilyn, so what do you need as far as support is concerned?
I think we want to grow and scale our services. So is the city, we need a city investment for Larkin Street and for the other providers of services to homeless youth to be able to, the city and the community, to support increased housing opportunities for young people, increased supports around education and employment, increased supports for behavioral health services. And we need to be all collectively driving towards quality and high outcomes, right? We want young people to come into services, to benefit from them, those services, and to be able to live independently when they leave us, right? So we need to all work together towards that common goal.
Well, let me ask you this, Craig. Are you able to integrate these children or these youth, these young people into the educational system here?
Yeah, and very successfully. I mean, Larkin Street and many, many other agencies in the city really concentrate on education and employment for the youth population, specifically us, the youth homeless population. But part of our two tenets to getting a young person out of the cycle of homelessness is to make sure that they're getting towards post-secondary education and they're getting towards sustainable employment. You know, that doesn't mean just getting a job. I know a lot of folks like to say, well, just get a job and then you're not homeless.
No, not the situation here.
And really, it's about sustaining a career path position or sustaining a job that's going to help you while you're working towards a career path position with education. And overall, you know, it's better for the city and the community in general. I mean, a lot of people talk about the costs of you know, assisting agencies the size of ours. But if you look at it from a city-county standpoint, you know, human services, it pays people to do workfare, right? It's a stipend of $466 a month, I believe, for adults right now. For 27 months, you're looking at over $11,000 per year per person who's in that program. You know, Larkin Street and other agencies work with human services to help young people get off of workfare and into jobs. And on average, we get about a four-month turnaround before a young person is no longer eligible to be working with us in that partnership. So if you look at the 4 months where they're going to earn $466 versus 27 months while they're going to earn $466, you could call it a savings to the taxpayer of $10,000. I mean, per person.
Cheryl, I'm interested, does the tech community help you?
Yes, we have actually had very good support from a number of tech companies. Google made a really great investment a couple of years ago, about a year and a half ago, in our site at 134 Golden Gate, and to help us really build out some innovative programs, education and employment programs that Craig is involved in. We've had support from Twitter, from Zendesk, from Dropbox, and from a number of other companies who have both provided volunteers. So Yelp volunteers and Salesforce volunteers and Airbnb volunteers that come in and cook meals and do a number of really wonderful things for our young people and help us in a number of different ways. And then we also have benefited from financial support as well.
Well, that's fantastic, because I think that one of the things that I think in my head, and I can't help but think that rattles around other people's heads too, is do they step up? Do they step up? Because with the gentrification that goes on in this city every day, you know, where you read stories in SF Gate where the homeless population is huge, and you read stories about North Beach tenants' rent increase from $1,800 a month to $8,000 a month. Yeah. I've got to think. It's like, wow, well, I hope you people are helping out.
Yeah, I think, and I would say, yes, they are helping out. And this and if we are going to address homelessness effectively, it's going to take more and bigger investments, quite frankly. I think there'll be some good models that'll be coming out over time. I think there's been a lot of talk about family homelessness,
right,
and others. And I think we need, yes, absolutely, we need to all be doing more, right, more and better. So the city wants to deepen its investments. We will need folks in San Francisco, corporations, tech companies, and others to continue to support and to probably grow those investments and to be working in partnership with the city and with local nonprofits to look at both the policy issues and to make the comprehensive kinds of changes that we want to make to address this issue. Right now is the time, and there are a lot of impacts. Affordability is obviously a major issue, obviously, right? So for homeless young people, as Craig was saying, that's why we need to super invest in making sure folks get on a career path, have a good job, are working on their education so that they can stay here. But that's not going to be enough if rents are $4,000 a month.
No, right?
We are going to need to build more housing, and we're going to need to be able to address this in a number of different ways.
Now, you can make six figures and still not be, you know, afford downtown San Francisco. And that unfortunately is a big, big issue. And I think that you might hear from citizens of the city that are not wealthy, that they've been already pushed out, that their back is breaking from the gentrification, and they don't want to hear more taxes. So I guess it's a tough issue. And that's why I ask are the tech companies stepping up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And with us, you know, like we said, when we're looking to make sure that young people get career options so that they're those people who can contribute and you know, afford some of these very, very large rents, you know, we concentrate on career paths that are going to get a focus to a better paying position. You know, we have learning centers that focus on tech as an institute and as a career. We have learning centers that focus on healthcare. We have learning centers that focus on hospitality, which, you know, are three tenets of this entire city's population of workers, right? I mean, without those three, what does San Francisco have left? And in that same vein, the agencies and the corporations and the businesses in the city that step up to do work with us and work with other agencies across the city that do youth work like this. They are valuable, but they also need to have the city back them and say, you know what, we are going to choose you because we know what you're doing and we know that you're helping versus somebody else simply because maybe something is comparatively cheaper or whatever that may be. You know, when we have the tech giants step up and do provide great service for us, or we have a hotel chain offer to come and talk to our youth who are in our hospitality program and give them the entire, you know, rundown of how to get a union position in the city of San Francisco in a hotel position, which is actually a really stable job. Right. You know, how can That's we make sure fantastic. That they're receiving that same benefit that they're trying to give us and the young people we work with?
The hashtag is SF Homeless Project, and you're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. We're talking about the homeless crisis here in San Francisco, specifically the youth demographic. We'll be back in just a minute. But first, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Grant.
Now back to the Drex Radio Show. Now back to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
We are discussing the homeless crisis here in the city of San Francisco, along with Sherilyn Adams, the executive director, and Craig Latte, the associate director for Larkin Street Youth Services. And one of the things that we were talking about during the break is, you know, a lot of people just, there's this idea that that homelessness is a lifestyle, and that's not a fact. That would be a myth also. But also, when we talk about the youth, it must be there's a fine line between just not having a house and crossing over to the dark side of things that they can get involved in, drugs. And, you know, you look at what's going on over in Oakland with the police department, this, that, and the other. And how do you help the kids and the young people who are coming into Larkin stay away from the dark side? Because it's got to be tempting.
I think, you know, as Craig was talking about earlier, right, I think one of the important things that we strive to do at Larkin Street is to create options and opportunities for young people, right? And to do that, when you're experiencing homelessness, and we've talked about the reasons why people are homeless, right? Because they've been kicked out, because somebody didn't, you know, there was no place for them to be, they were had to flee an unsafe environment, right? That's a lot of trauma, and there's a lot of trauma that happens on the streets. And so when people come inside. When young people come inside or start to seek services, they don't trust a lot. They don't have a lot of hope often for their future. They may very well be clear that how their life is going right now may not be how they want it to continue to go. And so a part of what we try to do is to create a safe space where folks can change and begin to explore new options for themselves slowly and within their own time frame and with the help of supportive staff and supportive volunteers, because change can only trust develops over time, and change can only happen when I trust that you are going to be there to help me with it.
Lynn, go ahead, jump in.
It's such a large undertaking. There are so many people who are in need. I know that when my son, who's now in his late 20s, was living at home and in high school. He tested out of high school, and he would go to work, and two or three times a week, he would come home with at least one homeless kid, often more. Bring him home, we'd feed him, we'd bathe him, give him a place to stay, help them navigate the social services that were available at the time. I remember HIFI, I think, and of course, you know, Huckleberry and Larkin Street. Yep. But sometimes he'd come home and he would sit and cry. He'd be very angry that I'm sharing this, but he would say, I just want to help. I know I can't feed everybody. I know I can't bring everybody home because you'd flip right out, wouldn't you, Mom? But he said, what do we do to help? This just keeps happening.
I would say that, I mean, part of the thing that helps overall is that early intervention that Sherilyn was mentioned. If you can take youth homelessness and make it a rarity, in fact, so much of a rarity that if a youth is facing a homeless situation that within, you know, 30 days, I think is the goal for most of the veterans programs, the hope for them to be off streets. If you could say within a week to 30 days, you're no longer on the streets, you're going to remove any involvement with that dark side, because they're just not going to be in an opportunity to have themselves be exploited by somebody, an adult or another person, or to be, kind of lured into a substance use issue, which then leads them to be in a situation where, you know, they need such higher and greater service levels because they've gotten into a situation that's more than they can handle as young people, right? And young people don't
right.
and are not expected to be able to handle. So with that, you know, with this city and with our community, you know, I wish there was, you know, 1,500 more people like you and your son who would say, you know what, let's get them to the nearest place. Let's figure out exactly which service center can this young person get to today and make sure that they're going to be off the street as soon as possible tonight. But then I also have to say, I wish there was also a bed that we could guarantee for every single one of them. And that's really the intervention that has to be there.
Okay, so people are listening. And matter of fact, if you guys want to pop on your headphones there, we'll take a caller. Anthony from Concord, thank you for calling. People do want to help. So people listening anywhere in the Bay Area or, you know, Northern California, I mean, at this point, the sun going down, the people listening all over the Western United States, can they come to Larkin Street Services, Youth Street Services, or look it up? I know you guys have a website. Can they come and kind of semi-adopt a kid to help them out? I mean, I guess adopt's not the right word.
Yeah.
Help them. Help them.
I'd say that they could contribute, that's for sure. You know, some of the best ways to contribute is with personal expertise to being able to help our young
mentor.
Folks. Yeah, and we offer a lot of different courses and curriculums at our education and employment services. And some of the best supports we get are from individuals in the community who do want to give back and say, here's my perspective as, you know, a lawyer, a doctor, you know, a city construction worker. Here's how I got there, and here's the steps you'd need to get through to get there, because a lot of times they need a realistic perspective. But on top of that, we have so many other services. We have housing, we have mental health, we have physical health and well-being. And, you know, all of these things can be addressed with individuals who wish to either obviously donate money, great, and time as well. I mean, and Sherilyn
okay.
can probably...
And I'm going to take this call. Anthony from Concord.
Hey, Drex, how are you tonight? Thank you to your guests for having this conversation.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, so you wanted to add to the conversation. You want to jump in.
Yeah, no, if I could. I kind of want to curtail your guest's son. You know, I'm that same way. My fiance and I, we relocated out here from Philadelphia. And we used to live in Oakland, and, I mean, it was so just awful. I mean, every day you just walk to work, and I just wanted to help everybody, right? So for Christmas and for Easter, we baked our own turkey and we baked our own ham, respectively, for each holiday. We made 30 doggy bags, and we went out and handed them all out to as many people as we could. You know, we do things like that. You know, I'm a massage therapist, so every time I see someone, I just want to go rub their feet, and I just want to help them out, you know, people with these back issues and all these different things. But the biggest thing I wanted to say is we need to be grateful, right? I think that's one thing that we don't really put in perspective every day, that something like this could be taken away at any moment, that a lot of these kids who are my age that are sitting on the streets, no fault of their own, maybe because they are gay, because they are lesbian, because their parents kicked them out of the house. That's not their fault. You know, it shouldn't be life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It should be pursuit of property, what originally was, because everyone deserves a right to a house. And what I wanted to say was, why don't all these open warehouses that we have, all these abandoned buildings, why can't we get architects? Why can't we design micro lofts? Why can't we design micro apartments for these people so they can have a home, they can get a shower, they can have a P.O. box so they can get a credit score, so they can get a paycheck, so that they can start to bring themselves up from where they are, because they don't deserve that. And it kills me every day, and it kills my fiance every day when we see them.
All right. Thank you
That's
very much, Anthony.
You
well,
thank you.
Very well said. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't,
he's right on
go
the
Go Anthony.
Yeah. Totally agree.
You yes.
know, they've had people, there's an individual in Oakland who was building micro homes for some of the homeless population. But, you know, as that happened, now there's also folks trying to pass legislation to stop him from doing so. So, I mean, you know, where you have the pros, you also get the cons. And really, the why isn't it happening? I mean, the answer is there is you need a lot more people to show up and say, yes, we're for this and it needs to happen. And often the people who are very for it don't have the time or don't have the energy or simply can't make it to the meetings and the city hall meetings, the city supervisor meetings that are where these decisions get made. But the people who are very con, they make it. I mean, it's very easy to show up and say no. It's very simple. I mean, it's very easy. This my only stance is no, right? And we need a lot more people whose stance is yes.
Yeah, more Anthony's. 808-0810 is the number. When we come back, I want to talk about the integration with the other homeless. I'm sure there's a line. As we continue our conversation and all of the San Francisco media joining in, good for them. We appreciate it. And, you know, mucho amor, much love to all of our associated media whether the competition or not, hats off, for talking about the homeless crisis today in the city of San Francisco. I'm speaking with the Larkin Street Youth Services. We'll continue our conversation on KGO, but let's take a look at traffic now with Lee Graham.
Listen and engage. The Drex Radio Show, weeknights 7 to 10 on KGO 810.
We are back here listening to the Drex Radio Show, and our guests are Craig Latte and Sherilyn Adams, and they are with Larkin Street Youth Services as we discuss the homeless crisis here in the city of San Francisco. Before the break, I ask you, is there a divide? I mean, basically the demo you're talking about for young people is 18 to 24, 18 to 25, somewhere in there. But is there a line in the sand when it comes to youth as far as do they want to commingle? Do they commingle with the older homeless people here in the city, or how does that work?
Well, absolutely. I mean, from our perspective, we have chosen to have services for 12 to 24 year olds.
12 to 24.
And the bulk of our young people are 16 to 24 because we believe there are specific developmental needs and there are specific issues that young people have that are best served by having carved out services for young adults. There's also, you know, within, I think one of the things we don't think about, but within the homeless community, there is a community. So in the Golden Gate Park, where there are young people who are in the park a lot and for whom they're the hate and the park is their current sort of home, then they become and form community there. Sometimes, you know, with older folks, you know, folks that are older than them, sometimes often within their peer groups, some of the other youth providers see youth up to services go up to 30 or up to 35. So absolutely, I think there are communities that are formed, and there is a need, I believe, to have specialized services for youth and young adults.
Okay. People are asking, and you can join us at Generation Drex. We will put up the hashtag, and it is the hashtag SF Homeless Project. And your thoughts, whatever, that's the space to go to. Let me ask you, Craig, laundry list specifically, and it is a laundry list, the things that you could use right now.
You know, one thing that is always necessary for anybody in the situations that our young people find themselves in is honestly clean socks and underwear. You know, Larkin Street is always asking for folks to donate brand new packaged clean socks and underwear. I mean, it's a hygiene supply, so we're only able to accept the packaged ones.
Yeah, don't bring your used stuff.
Right.
Not good. Yeah.
Those kind of supplies are not just clothing, they're essentials, right? You can't feel clean, you can't feel, you know, capable that day if you can't simply change your socks and underwear. You know, we do often have a high need for hygiene supplies as well. Other things, you know, shaving cream, things along those feminine hygiene products. And, you know, for the young people that were unfortunately in this city unable to house because we don't have the capacity to reach all of them, we do try and offer sleeping bags, but those are also in short supply as well.
Okay, well, and if you're listening wherever you are, you can help with those things. You can go to Larkin Street. What is your website?
LarkinStreetYouth.org.
There you go. And we will link that at KGOradio.com. So what about keeping the kids and this demo off the street?
How can we prevent youth homelessness?
I mean, that's a pretty large question, but, you know.
But I think
off
we actually.
The street.
Yeah, so I think what we can do is continue to strengthen our schools to ensure that young people don't drop out, that they get the supports they need in schools, to strengthen family support, to continue to strengthen the foster care system, to do much better transition planning when folks are leaving the juvenile justice system, foster care system. We've made great strides and improvements in California around providing continuity and additional supports to young people who are transitioning or emancipating out of the foster care system. We need to continue to do that. We need to ensure that we have a rapid response when somebody runs away or becomes homeless and they're very young, that we can quickly respond to that. We can quickly get them into shelter and quickly get them back into a stable housing. We know that exploitation, Larkin Street started in response to seeing young boys in the Polk Gulch area of San Francisco in 1984 who were being exploited. There was a lot of substance abuse, a lot of issues for young teenage boys. That's why we started. So exploitation and trafficking and addressing those issues and responding quickly, because once on the street, it is very difficult not to end up in a place where you're being exploited or trafficked. That's why Runaway and Homeless Youth Program started. And so, in part, so that's one way to be able to do it is to strengthen our response system, to strengthen and more quickly be able to intervene. And then for those folks who end up on the streets, then we need to have a comprehensive set of services, a diverse housing portfolio for young people, and the accompanying support services so that we can ensure that when they exit our housing, they have a job, they're going to school, they have the tools to navigate life, and they're housed.
Yeah, because you don't want them to end up in the in the chronic cycle of being homeless.
No,
being homeless,
of course not. Right?
Yeah.
No.
It can become a very vicious cycle.
It's
with
very
social services.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And you know, I just to speak to that for a second, I think that some people in their mind, they walk down the street and they see homeless people every day, and they just feel like it is that they're dealing with a vicious cycle that the average person, the average Joe, you or I, that what can we do? We throw our hands in the air. What can we do? You know, always looking for the government to step in, or as I was talking earlier, the tech companies. We can't ask all the tech companies to bend over. I mean, you know, they're helping, but
right. I think one thing that everybody can do is say hello to the homeless person that they see regularly when they're walking to and from work or coming in and out of the BART station. You can look at somebody and look them in the eye and say hello and not look down on them. You can do what Anthony did and sometimes take some food to somebody. You can treat people with the human dignity that you want to be treated with. That's one thing everybody can do.
That's great. That's great. Now, I know a lot of people are afraid of the homeless.
I think a lot of people are afraid of the homeless, and I think that is misplaced fear.
I'm also afraid of people when I'm driving home from work, you know, in gridlock, and people get just as aggressive. So, I mean, the point is that if you have a bad incident, it doesn't mean that every driver on the road is full of road rage. It means that that individual probably needs some help. And in that case, you know, the best thing to do is call the homeless outreach team, you know, like you would call for assistance if somebody was being dangerous, right? You get them the help that they need. There's a lot of resources in the city to try and address folks if they are making somebody feel scared. But you also got to realize that some people keep people at bay because the mistreatment that they get in the general day-to-day life of that they're living on the street is so vicious that they feel like they need to make sure that everybody's at least an arm's length.
Yeah, a lot of people think that this is by choice, but boy, oh boy, with the way things are in the city, you know, people are one paycheck away or one lease away from being thrown out onto the street and nowhere to go.
Right.
You know, I have a story, let me see, my intern printed this. Tech bus driver forced to live in cars to make ends meet. So he's driving all the tech drivers around, but yet he's homeless.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's scary. It's a scary situation.
Yeah, I think I think often what happens when we see somebody who is homeless, whether they're young, they're a family, they're an adult, an older person, is we assume that they did something wrong, right? And I think often it is a set of circumstances that got out of control and rendered somebody homeless. And there may have been issues along the way, right? Maybe there was some substance use issues along the way. Maybe there is some mental health issues. But you know, many, many people have substance use issues and mental health issues and don't end up homeless because they have supports or because they had a safety net or because they just got lucky.
Right.
Right. And so really it is often mostly at the core of homelessness, often is just a set of circumstances and a railroad train that just went on a path and folks could not get out of it. And once you are homeless, it's a ton of work to just manage your day-to-day life. And it is very, very, very hard to get back out of that without immediate access to housing.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time. Craig Latte and Sherilyn Adams, both with Larkin Street Youth Services, as we talk about the homeless crisis in San Francisco. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Very informative. Okay. Hang on, people. Don't go away, because coming up, we will begin the Late Night Late Show wrap-up on the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
783-26. Time restrictions apply. Call for details.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.